Okay, now I'll go to some pastimes. Radhakund is Radha's Krishna's pleasure garden in Goloka that is manifest on earth during the time of Krishna's descent, along with other holy places like Govardhan Hill and Manasaganga. The pastime of Radhakund's appearance is connected to Krishna slaying the bull demon Arista, which took place on the seventh night of the waning moon in the month of Kartik. Once Uddhav informed Purnamasi that Kamsa had asked his two servants, Arista and Keshi, to spy on the young boy who was repeatedly killing demons like Putana, sent by the king to Vrindavan. While spying on Krishna, Keshi also spotted Sri Radha, and when he returned to Mathura, he described her beauty to Kamsa in great detail, whereupon the king decided to invade Gokul and abduct her. Upon Aristasura's instigation, Kamsa sent his intimate friend Shankachuda to kidnap Radharani, but like other demons, the foolish Yaksha was quickly dispatched to the abode of Yamaraj. Lusty Kamsa now placed his hopes on the giant bull Aristasura, who, true to his name, which means calamity, brought misfortune wherever he went and was feared by humans and demigods alike. Once when fearsome Aristasura just playfully shook his head, Lord Shiva became so frightened for the welfare of his own bull, Nandi, that he quickly hid it in the cave of Mount Mandara. When Arista appeared somewhere, the three worlds hid in fear. When he stood up, all creatures fell down, and when he moved about, even the winds declined to move in the sky. It was late in the evening, midway through the period of dusk, when Arista made his appearance outside Nandagram, bellowing harshly and making the earth tremble as he pawed with his hooves. Not far away, Krishna was trying to quell the flames of Vishaka's anger, which was thwarting a well-planned rasa dance with the gopis, who had by now all become intimidated by Vishaka's unrelenting huff. But when Aristasura roared loudly, Vishaka became so frightened that she forgot her anger, and, along with the other gopis, she hid behind Krishna as he quickly went to discover the cause of this disturbance. When Krishna arrived in the pastures outside Nandagram, he saw an enormous black bull with a hump like a great hill, stirring the clouds into a storm with the rotation of its long grayish tail. With its horns, the beast was tearing up embankments, pulling out fences, and gouging deep furrows in the earth, every now and then passing stoop and urine here and there. The cows, calves, and bulls ran into their barns in fear, and the gopas and gopis were struck in fear just by the sight of the demon whose thunderous roar caused pregnant cows and women to miscarriage. Those brave gopas who tried to face the demon ran away as soon as they saw Arista charging them. His thunderbolt horns lowered, his nostrils breathing fire, his hooves cracking the earth wherever he went. Seeing such chaos generated in his village, Krishna called out to the Brijvasis and his cows, "Don't be afraid." And after thus comforting them, he turned to the sinful creature and cried, "You fool, wicked rascal, what do you think you are doing frightening the coward community and their animals when I am here to punish corrupt, sinful miscreants like you?" And although killing a cow or bull is a most heinous act, Krishna stood his ground and tightened the sash around his waist in preparation for killing a demon whose death would only be a boon to the universe. Krishna then challenged the demon with a loud sound created by slapping his arms with his palms and showed further contempt for the demon by casually placing an arm over Sabal's shoulder. Thus provoked, Arista pawed the ground and with his horns pointing straight ahead, his tail upright, glaring menacingly, he rushed at full speed towards Krishna like a thunderbolt hurled by Indra. Krishna seized Arista by the horns and pushed him back 18 steps, making the demon fall to his haunches in the way the great Kuvalyapita elephant would do when fighting a rival elephant. Rising to his feet, breathing hard and sweating, the demon again charged with mindless rage, and this time when Krishna caught him by the horns, he knocked him to the ground with a kick from his feet. Krishna began to beat Arista like a piece of wet cloth, and then yanking out the bull's left horn, Krishna struck him with it over and over, until, unable to move, the demon vomited blood and passed excrement. Because Aristasura was in the form of the bull, Krishna would not kill him. Instead, invisible to the Brijvasis, Yamaraj appeared and killed the demon whereupon it was immediately liberated. Thus, Krishna playfully disposed of Arista by tossing him out of Vrindavan as if he were a toy ball, freeing the universe from a great calamity and making Nandagram auspicious and happy again. Sanatana Goswami describes how in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is also victorious over Arista and Keshi, who appear as demon servants of Kamsa, determined to disturb the peaceful life of Braj. Once, Arista in the form of a bull and Keshi in the form of a horse, both fierce as death personified, entered Braj and with ear-splitting roars terrified the gopas and made all other creatures fall to the ground. Krishna's young friends surrounded him in fear, but Krishna made light of the demon by flexing his arms before the boys and displaying different fighting postures that showed off his heroic power. First the horse came running at him, but Krishna kicked it far away, and then catching the bull, he pierced its nose and dragged it before the deity of Gopeshwar, offering Lord Shiva a ride. When Keshi again attacked Krishna, he skillfully jumped on its back and, after an exciting bronco ride, subdued the animal and ordered it to go here and there, taking his friends around on rides. With Arista and Keshi domesticated, Krishna bridled the horse and kept it as a pet for riding, and he harnessed the bull and had it engaged in the useful service of pulling the carts of Brijbasis. O Krishna, who, after bringing calamity to the fearful bull Arista that repeatedly attacked the Brijbasis, and who became pleased to see your relatives again happy and peaceful, all glories to you. Now, this is what will happen the following day when Krishna tries to come before the gopis. After Krishna had disposed of Arista, he and Balaram made a triumphant entrance into Nandagram, where the citizens greeted them with great pageantry and joyous expressions of love. And because the Brijbasis were intent on celebrating Krishna and his great achievement until late into the night, he was unable to resume his scheduled dance festival with the gopis that night. However, on the following evening, Krishna and the gopis met at the far end of Govardhan Hill in a clearing, where Krishna and Arista had battled before moving closer to Nandishwar for their final duel. The gopis greeted Krishna with showers of flowers and cheers of jai, but when he suggested that they recommence their pastimes of the previous eve, Radha recoiled and called out an assertive no. Krishna thought Radha was, as usual, playing hard to get. But when he reached out to touch her arm, her response was not lighthearted, but a belligerent, sinful killer of a bull. Do not touch me today. Foolish Krishna, woman, was Krishna's defense. It was not a bull that I killed, but a terrible demon disguised as a bull. Surely you can't mistake the sin of cow killing with the heroic act of vanquishing a demon. Thinking he had defused Radha's argument, Krishna again reached for her, but she slapped his hand away and pierced him with an angry glance that indicated this would not be an argument quickly won. What you say may be true, she countered, but even though Arista was a demon, he was in the body of a bull, so you will have to undergo atonement, just as Indra did after killing Britra, who was a Brahmin. Krishna restlessly tapped the ground with his right foot. He wasn't expecting this kind of gratitude for saving the gopis, but he knew better than to press his luck with an adamant Radha, and so he asked, O Radha, please tell me, what should I do to atone for this act? Visibly pleased by his attitude, Radha quipped, you can purify yourself by bathing in every single holy place in the three worlds. That's outrageous, thought Radha, but said with a smile instead, why should I spend my time wandering throughout the universe when I can call all the holy places here and take my bath in them? Hearing this, Radha looked towards her friends, and they all looked back towards Krishna as he raised his right forefinger and, with the mood of a wizard about to do some magic, said, just watch. Saying that, Krishna struck his heel into the ground to make a knee-deep hole and said, come here. And one by one, many streams of water bubbled out of the ground, filling up the hole to form a pond. These springs were all the holy waters of the universe, including the Bhogavati River from the lower Patala region, and Krishna, looking very pleased with himself, said, Sakis, behold all the holy waters. But seeing only what they thought were ordinary trickles of water, the gopis laughed in disbelief and rather challenged, "If these water are holy, then why can't we see the presiding deities?" Krishna shook his head imperiously as if to say, "I'll show you," and clapping his hands, said, "Appear." And all of a sudden, the area was crowded with divine beings with palms joined in reverence to Krishna. One by one, these deities with golden crowns and divine ornaments introduced themselves, bowing low before Sri Radha. One said, "I'm the salt ocean," and another said, "I'm the milk ocean." There was the Sona River, the Sindhu, the Tamraparni, the Saraswati, the Godavari, the Jamuna, the Rava rivers, the confluence at Prayag, and the holy place of Pushkar. The gopis were amazed to see the deities of the famous holy places that they had only heard about, as well as others that were unknown to them, introduce themselves and say, "Here are my waters."